Live Lunch is made possible in part by Wynn.net Internet and contributions from FPK listeners just like you. Thanks also to the City Cafe, now with citywide delivery for any event. They provided lunch for FPK members today. Thank you. Big thanks to the City Cafe. Next week, very excited, we're going to welcome a local artist that we just love. Tania Sanders and her band are going to be in here next week. So that's next week's Live Lunch. How about a little more love for the Decemberists? Now, Colin, since you're the man with the microphone, would you like to introduce your esteemed bandmates?
Oh, sure. Over here on my left is Mr. Chris Funk, playing guitar and other things. Sort of behind me, Mr. John Spider Moen.
How do you do? Drum.
That's Nate Query on upright bass. And Ms. Jenny Conley over there in accordion and glockenspiel.
The song we just heard, The Assembled Crane Wife, that's based on an old Japanese folk tale, and I understand that's a story that's been in your head for quite a while, is that right?
I was working in a bookstore. Actually, Jenny and I were working at the same bookstore. This was several years ago, and it just kind of came across the desk. The story is a kid's book, actually, and in an idle moment, flipped through it and read it and was just kind of struck by the story, but it wasn't till like 2.5 years later that it finally saw the light of day as a song.
Now, for the benefit of folks hearing it the first time, could you maybe tell like the thumbnail version of the story that was the source
thumbnail.
Of that?
I've thumbnail. Got it. You timing me, Johnny?
I'm gonna back you up on anything.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. If I miss anything. Okay. The story is set in feudal Japan, or just old Japan, and a peasant finds. On an evening walk, finds a wounded crane with an arrow in its wing. He revives the crane. The crane flies away. A couple days later, a mysterious woman shows up at his door. He takes her in. She stays, and after a period of time, they fall in love and get married. But they're very poor, so in order to make money, she suggests that she weaves this cloth, which she's very good at weaving, and that he would in turn sell at the market. And as this beautiful cloth kind of flecked in red, but the condition is that he can never look in at her while she's weaving. So this goes on for a while, and they become, you know, moderately wealthy. And I'm going over the thumbnail version here. This is taking longer,
it's
way too long.
It's a fine thumbnail, though, so it's okay.
So until finally his curiosity gets the best of him, and he looks in at her, and it turns out she's a crane, and she's been pulling feathers out of her wings and putting it in the cloth, and that's where the blood is coming from. And him having seen her breaks the spell, and she turns permanently back into a crane and flies away, and that's the end.
Yeah. See, that's there's no telling how many hundreds of years old that is, and it's still bone chilling, you know?
Yeah.
Now,
especially my telling.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's very realistic. But
yeah, that's right.
I was sort of against.
Probably that, wouldn't happen like that.
I was against it, but yeah, we're having a good time playing the tunes.
Now, you all do a very prog thing on the record, and you tell it out of order. That Tarantino third part first kind of thing. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, actually, that was suggested by our esteemed co-producer Chris Walla. Who, as soon as he got the, I recorded all the songs myself on the guitar and gave them to everybody, and that was the demo form. And right off the bat, he said, because I had recorded them all in order, like we just played it, and he was just immediately wrote back, was like, why don't we break off the third part and put it at the beginning of the album, and then the other two can come later in the record. And that was the first, step we had taken in the recording, and it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Now, you're on a major label for the first time, and you have songs that are more than 10 minutes long. Was that an issue? Did anybody give you grief about that?
Surprisingly, no. They had no idea that we were doing that.
I see. I think they thought
that we were, you know, going to turn in a, you know, ye old Decemberist record. Yeah. And our A&R people came into the studio about halfway through the process, so we were far enough into it that there was no turning back. And we played them a few of the kind of the short, poppier songs to, you know, try to make sure that they knew we were on track. And then they liked that, all right. And then we decided we played them the epic stuff. And then they were really excited about it. They were really enthusiastic. So it turned out for the best, actually.
Well, listen, I can't thank you all enough for coming by today. You're in the Brown Theater tonight. I'll turn it back over to you, the Decemberists, on Live Lunch.
Thank you. This is a little bit of gangland drama. It's called O Valencia.
Want to start together, Chris?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Old school.